It'd be nice to be able to say that I'm not nervous, but it would be bad to lie in the stand. So I'm. I hope I don't ever get to the point to where that I don't churn on the inside when this time comes, because we stand in the presence of a holy God.
Amen.
I believe he said in the book of Hebrews, I forget, seems like it was the 12th chapter, he said, "Follow, as much as he is, and he'll follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see God." So, the situation that we have is, did we have, or do we have, someone that has delivered us to the point to where that we can stand in the presence of God as holy people? Now, if that be the case, and it's written in this book, and we're given the charge to declare it, we cannot alter it one iota from what our forefathers taught 10 generations back. Well, from the very beginning. The scriptures do not lend themselves and cannot be updated.
Amen.
Right.
That's right.
They're just as current now as they were when they were uttered.
Right.
Now, I'm going to read something in a minute. In the book of Peter, I forget, my mind doesn't function quite as well as it used to, but you just bear with me. The scriptures tell us that the people that were recording the prophecies and scriptures did not understand for sure everything they were recording, but it said it was revealed unto them, that not unto them, but unto us.
Amen.
In other words, to us, I would think it would be both Jew and Gentile. Because Ephesians letter tells us that the middle wall of partition has been broken down, and we're all one body now. Now, okay. What I want to talk about for a few minutes is something that, to me, is so important that it be preached over and over again, and that's found in the 116th Psalm. Let me read this. 7th verse of the 116th Psalm. Now y'all pray for me. I need my mind to work well just to remember where I need to talk from. So it says, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." Now, I may have this wrong, so if I do, you just be long-suffering with me. But I understand that if you're going to return somewhere, then you must have been there at least once before.
Thank you. That's right. Amen.
Pardon?
That's right. Amen.
Oh, thank you. So, I tried to think in my mind, when was man at rest? When he says, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul." When was the soul of man at rest? Far as I can understand, it wasn't but just for a short time. You know, it long when he was in the Garden of Eden. You know, and then you all are familiar with the scriptures, you know. He said, "Of the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou mayest not eat. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And we know what happened. Man died. Mm-hmm. Now, It's 1,656 years from the time of the transgression to the flood. In between this time, God very shortly said that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And he said, I will destroy man whom I have made, you know, and then, without going into a lot of detail, he said, but later on, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But I cannot find any place from the time that the children of God transgressed in the Garden of Eden that man's soul was at rest until the coming of our blessed Lord and his death and his burial and the resurrection and going back to be seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Right. Now, you know, and then in the Hebrew, in Peter, and in the New Testament, he says, he, you or I, that hath entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own labors, right, as God did from here, of his, and that's the key to the rest of the child of God's soul returning back to where it can have some sort of stability and joy. Now, the prophet Isaiah said it this way. He said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. All right. Now, so, we find here then that nowhere do we find that man has any rest whatsoever until the coming of our blessed Lord. Now, if you read in the book of Habakkuk, and I'm just going to pick up a few little things along the way trying to get to what I'm talking about here. In the book of Habakkuk, in the second chapter, the prophet Habakkuk seemed to be concerned about the holiness of God. He wanted to know, he said, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore, or why, dost thou hold thy peace when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? Now, it was puzzling Habakkuk that the situation that we have today was prevalent in that day, and he didn't understand why it was that God was not destroying the wicked even at that time. Well, I tell you why I think he wasn't destroying. It wasn't time for him to do it. You know, that's going. And the thing about it is that he was going to send someone. That said one time, he said, all power is given unto me both in heaven and earth, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. Now, what I wanted was all power. Now, we see here then everywhere that you look in the Old Testament from the time of the transgression of the Garden of Eden up to the time of the coming of our blessed Lord, you'll find not one instance where that God speaks of men in the carnal state as being anything except filthy.
Amen.
He says, and all our righteousness is, Isaiah, all our righteousness is, are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf.
Right.
You know. Okay, now, my daddy was a man that believed strongly that you had to do something in order to become a child of God. And you know, I was taught that growing up, and I don't know why I never did worry about it, but I just simply did not believe in my heart that God was going to send me to the bad place. You know, I couldn't believe that. You know why? Because I was talking to him by the time I was 4 or 5 years old, and I tell you what else, he was talking to me.
Amen. Amen.
And whenever God talks to you, he dispels the fears.
Yeah.
Yes, though I walk through the valley. of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me.
Yes, sir.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, listen, my friends. There is no valley that's so long but what our Savior has not tried the length of it.
Amen.
Many times.
Amen.
And there's no hill, no mountain that He has not ascended and gone over the top.
Amen.
I'm telling you, my friends, listen, we've got something to rejoice about and to sing about and to preach about and to pray about. But I'm going to tell you this, it's in danger of being wiped off the face of the earth if we are not diligently faithful to hold on to it and say this, that the Scriptures cannot be modified.
That's right.
Now, I know I've jumped track with here with this thing, but he said, "Thou hast delivered my soul from death." I just want to say this about Scripture before I leave that. And you know, if you don't understand, and I don't understand something about what's written in the Bible, don't leave it. Just keep on looking for it.
Amen.
And praying for it.
Amen.
Because after a while, God will show you what it is and where it is.
Amen.
Oh, listen, I had to go a long time before I learned that lesson.
Right.
Just go on. Go on and do what you're supposed to do. Because, listen, He's going to come behind you. You're never going to see His face. You can see His hind parts, though. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, you talk about having some joy. I was told I was going to go to the bad place more times than a farmer can go to town, you know. But listen, I said I never believed it. But I always was troubled in my heart that something wasn't right about what I was hearing. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to condemn people that taught that. Evidently, they didn't know any better.
Right.
You know, they were teaching what they thought was right. But my dad would say to my mother, God would not be just if He didn't give everybody a chance. Well, now, let me tell you something. My mother was one of the most godly women I've ever known. But somehow or another, she never could come up with the right answer. But I can tell you one thing. The chance system wasn't used but one time. And I was in the Garden of Eden, and because chance means choice. And whenever man was given the choice, he failed.
Amen.
All right, now, and so if you look at the 14th chapter of the book of Psalms, you'll find out that the Scriptures tell us that not one soul has ever come looking for the Lord.
Amen.
Jacob wasn't looking for the Lord whenever he was running toward Bethel. Listen, my friends, he's trying to get away from Esau.
That's right.
But I, the only one I can find out that really is an exception is Enoch, who was translated, and then later on Elijah, who was translated. But the rest of the time, it says that God looked down from heaven to see if there's any that did understand and seek after God. And He says, no, not one. That's not the exact quote on it. He said, there's none that understandeth, no, not one. And I'm going to tell you this. If you look real diligently, Paul quotes this and goes into detail about it in the first part of the book of Romans. The very same situation. So, whenever the psalmist said, thou hast delivered my soul from death, that's exactly what he's talking about. Listen, first of all, we got to get this man out of the state of death. And the only thing that could do that was the blood of our blessed Lord. It would take a week to preach about the priesthood of, well, it wouldn't take me that long because I don't know that much about it. But if you really begin to think about it, to talk about the various aspects of the priesthood of Christ from the time that the psalmist said, you know, in the 40th psalm it was said, you know, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, you know, But then said I. Well, you know, somebody says, well, he said a body has prepared me. No, he didn't say it there, but he did later on in the New Testament. He added the fact that there's a body involved in this thing. He said, then said I, lo, I come, and the volume of the book that is written to me. Then the prophet Isaiah gives us something to rest upon. And in the 53rd chapter, the 6th verse, he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. And the Lord, listen to this, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I heard a preacher that called himself a primitive Baptist say that in 2 Corinthians 5, where it says, all we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to answer for the deeds done in the body. He said, that's going to be after that we are raised from the dead. Well, I can tell you right now, if that's the case, you're going to have somebody in heaven that still hadn't been cleansed. And my Bible says that nobody's going to be in the glory world except someone has been made holy. So if there's no way on the sun that can be talking about the glory world, it has to be something that he's talking about here. And now listen, just like this. You think about it a few minutes. We are the bride of Christ.
Yes, sir.
And we are under his headship. We're under his dominion. We're under his judgment. We're under everything to him.
Right.
Now, whenever I disobeyed my daddy, he didn't say, well, now look here. We're going to make a note of this here. Oh, and this is on Tuesday, the first day of the month. And at the 29th day of the month, we're going to have a reckoning here. He didn't wait, you know, till things had just accumulated to judge me. I mean, it was instantaneous. When I transgressed, that's when the judgment came. And I believe that's what he's talking about. Jesus judges his bride every day. He judges this church. He judges my church. Why? Because we are the living bride of Christ. Now, I want to just chunk in something. I know good and well that if you listen carefully, it's going to be hard to make sense out of some of the things I say. But you just think about this a minute. What in the world is the church in this world? It's not an organization. The church is an organism.
Amen. That's right.
The church is a bride. It is the bride of Christ. She is the bride of Christ. Now, the only thing that can be added to the church is another member of the church that is an elect of God. And the only one that can add it is the one who has the source of life. Jesus of Nazareth is the only one that can add to the church. But now the church has been in a covenant relationship since before the foundation of the world. Even so, that being the case, that whenever one is born of the Spirit in this world, Paul said in the 12th chapter of Corinthians, by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. So, the only one that can add to the church is Christ himself. Now, we get talking about, the church is not growing. What can we do and we do and we do and all that sort of thing. Well, now, we can behave ourselves and we can glorify his name and we can rejoice and we can sing and we can pray and preach. But the only one that can add to the body of Christ is her husband.
Amen.
Her husband. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, he said, as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And he said, I came down out of heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that has sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which thou hast given me, I should lose nothing. Every one of you all can quote that, can't you?
Right.
And then he said, I'll raise it up again at the last day. Well, I'm going to ask you this, folks. If we're going to be in the glory world and be holy, the way I understand what Paul was saying was that when we're absent from the body, we are immediately present with the Lord.
That's right.
There is no such thing as a holding pen.
Amen.
There is no such... Now, I don't mean to be ugly, but there's no such thing as purgatory.
Thank you.
I tell you what, listen, brother. The purging was done by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And the cleansing was done by the blood of Jesus. That's why the psalmist said, "Thou hast delivered my soul from death." Oh, listen, my friends. Death doesn't have any claim on you anymore, because Satan has been banned from the presence of God. He has nothing to charge us with anymore. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul said in the 8th chapter of Romans. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also does what? Maketh intercession for us. Oh, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Whenever that we breathe our last breath, and the life that God gave us goes back to be with Him, this is going to rest with the Lord until the day that Gabriel blows his horn. You know, he said, "The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Amen.
Then we, which alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Did anybody detect any place in there where we're going to be set aside and judged before we go to the glory world with God? No, my friends. So what did the psalmist say? Y'all, I don't know whether y'all are getting tired of this or not, but I sure want to quit before you do. Said this, he said, "Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." Brother Dahl, since I heard and understand the great mercy and grace of God, I've shed a lot of tears, yes, over the sorrows of the world and my sins. But I never shed a tear over being afraid that I wasn't going to get to go to the glory world.
Amen. That's right.
You know, the dear ladies that talk to me, I says, "Hun, don't you want to see your grandmother? Don't you want to go to heaven, you know, and be there and blah, blah, blah?" And one of them came up and said, "Well, I tell you one thing, Houston will go to hell before and get the shoes off of him." Well, I tell you right now, I knew there had to be something better than that.
Amen. Right.
You know what? I asked God to show it to me.
Amen.
Listen, ask Him.
That's right.
You know, He said, "You have not because you ask not." Sometimes we ask, and we ask amiss to use it on our flesh and lust. But I'll tell you one thing. He'll answer your prayers more times than He'll turn you down. God bless you.
Amen.
Come on, whoever was supposed to be. Brother Dahl.
292. Out in the storm.